Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Stephen Holder from The Athletic, covers the Indianapolis Colts at 7:30. We'll get into the Carson Wentz news with him. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock to discuss all things with the Tennessee Titans. Terry Crisp at 8:30. And then our friend David Ubben from The Athletic will join us at 9 o'clock to get into the latest with the Tennessee Vols. So a lot still to get to on the show here today. And Joe, we've talked a lot in the last few minutes about quarterbacks in the AFC South, and Field Yates has written a piece on ESPN.com. And by the way, Field Yates will be joining Darren Donica Chase today at 12:30. So looking forward to that conversation, but he's written a piece on ESPN.com predicting the starting quarterback for all 32 teams next year. And Joe, you'll never believe this, but Ryan Tannehill is the predicted starter for the Titans next year. Just wanted to throw that out there at you.
Finger on the pulse, Field.
I know that comes as a surprise, but there are some very interesting names in new spots. And I mentioned it to end the last segment. The projected 2021 starter, according to Field Yates, for the New England Patriots, Marcus Mariota. What do you think about the idea of Marcus Mariota maybe joining forces with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and Marcus getting another shot to be a starter in the NFL?
I mean, I love it. What was the Patriots' record this year? They go 8-8, 7-9? I think
not good. That was their record.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever their record was, sign up for another record of the exact same with Mariota. I mean, like, it's just – I mean, I
– 7-9, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. It's about 7-9 with Mariota. I'd love to be wrong, you know, but man, if you're Bill Belichick, that's your solution. I mean, again, I think it'd be fascinating to watch, and I'd love to see Mariota get that opportunity. But if I'm Bill Belichick, is that what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I'm going to bring in Mariota and bring back the glory days. I don't know, man. I have my doubts. That's actually what happens.
I do too. Like, you know, Cam Newton last year, despite starting off pretty well, I mean, it faded quickly, and that offense was not good. So, and you're gonna love this. I'm gonna say something nice about Marcus. I think he could come in and do a better job than Cam Newton did last year. So maybe that means another win or two for the Patriots if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, and if the Patriots don't have a ton of opt outs like they did this past season as well. But if you're trying to get back in contention in the AFC and you're Bill Belichick, I don't know that Marcus Mariota is the quarterback to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, Bill's got a, I mean, I don't know what the great answer is given their entire situation, but you know, Bill's got that urgency now that Tommy, inspired an entire football team to play like it's never played before.
An entire city.
That's right. You know, injured players who were just going to sit out like, I got to win one for Tommy. You know, I mean, Bill Belichick's got to try to compete with that. So you would think that he would be looking for something better.
Yeah, you would think so. We'll see what happens with that. And, you know, Mariota has been, you know, he's been included in these trade rumors based on his cap hit. And obviously, you know, if you're the Raiders, I think you feel okay about Derek Carr right now. And we've talked about the Raiders maybe being involved in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And speaking of Deshaun Watson, Field Yates in this piece on ESPN.com has Deshaun Watson being the next quarterback of the Carolina Panthers next season. So Carolina making the big move, according to Field Yates. He believes Deshaun Watson ends up with the Panthers. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, there's one, and I apologize for, you know, failing to remember who had this, but someone who I believe covers the Panthers said that they might even be willing to send McCaffrey back as part of it. So like Bridgewater, McCaffrey, as many picks as you want,
yeah,
give us Deshaun. But it certainly sounds like from multiple reports, you know, that Carolina has been very aggressive here early in terms of trying to figure something out. So yeah, I could see it. Get them out of your conference. I think that's something Houston would like to do.
And if that happens, that obviously creates a hole at quarterback for Houston. And because of that, Field Yates has the starter for the Texans next year being Justin Fields. So Justin Fields from Ohio State, he believes in this process. With Carolina trading for Deshaun Watson, they end up with Justin Fields as the pick in Houston.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, if you're a Texans fan, there's probably nothing that's going to make you feel great, because who out there do you feel like, okay, this could be an upgrade over Deshaun Watson? I guess Mahomes. But but if you end up with picks and Justin Fields and at least a chance to have a young QB who might be really good in this league, I mean, there are worse outcomes possible here.
What do you think about that if you're a Titans fan? Because you look around, everybody would expect Trevor Lawrence to be the quarterback in Jacksonville, Carson Wentz now in the fold at Indy. If Houston makes this trade, obviously you feel better about Deshaun Watson not being there. But Justin Fields, I think both of us feel like, has a chance to be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL as well.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting. You'd have, you know, the two guys going into the college season, Lawrence and Fields, now, you know, that a lot of people thought would be 1-2, now in your division, you know. And, of course, I mean, it's just – you just don't know. I mean, think about just over the last few years, the big debate not that long ago was Mariota or Winston. Who's number one? They're both going to be franchise quarterbacks. And then it was Wentz or Goff. They're both going to be franchise quarterbacks. Who's number one, you know? I mean, how many of these guys actually live up to where they go? What are the chances that both Fields and Lawrence will? I think the chances are better that both of them will not quite reach that level. I mean, that's just how it goes in this league. But I mean, if you're the Titans and you're looking at the QB landscape of the AFC South, it is absolutely better for you if Deshaun Watson's not part of it. And it's just so wait and see on Wentz.
It is, and you brought up Jameis Winston there, and to me, this team is really the most fascinating one, in my opinion, to think about, and that's why, you know, when we started talking about potential landing spots for Deshaun Watson, I always kind of kept one eye on the New Orleans Saints, because I think everybody believes Drew Brees is going to retire. He has not officially announced that yet, but the indication are that's the way that he's leaning, and Field Yates has Jameis Winston being the starting quarterback next year for the Saints. And we've talked a little bit about Jameis, Joe. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. The ability is there. The decision-making has not been great. Obviously, the turnovers have been a huge problem for Jameis in his career. Can that be fixed? Is that something that Sean Payton can coach out of him? Maybe so. And maybe that's what Sean Payton believes can happen, and that under his watch, Jameis Winston can come in and can be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And New Orleans with that roster can be right back to being competitive again in the NFC. I never want to close the door on a big move being made by New Orleans and Sean Payton at this point in his career. But Field Yates has Jameis Winston as the starter post Drew Brees next year for the Saints.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just, boy, I think you're signing up for 9-7, 8-8, if that's the way you go, you know, and it's hard for me to imagine Sean Payton being okay with that. But because, you know, I do think, I mean, really, I think that team is built to make a run in a lot of places. And last year, I mean, it was hard watching for as much as Phillip Rivers didn't push the ball down the field and clearly was older and diminished. I mean, Drew Brees was tough to watch last year. I mean, you get good there and you could be a great team, but what do you have to, I think that's a good underrated team to look at in the Watson thing. My question is, you know, what are they sending back, you know, that makes the Texans happy, but I think that's a good point. That's a team to watch until we know where he's going.
Yeah, exactly. And a few other quarterbacks that we've thrown out there that could be on the move this offseason. Field Yates has them staying put. Tua staying put in Miami, obviously, if he's got Deshaun Watson going to Carolina. Jimmy G, according to Field Yates, staying put in San Francisco. And then Matt Ryan staying put with the Atlanta Falcons as well. So we've talked about the possibility of maybe a lot of quarterback movement this offseason. According to Field Yates, he doesn't expect as much as maybe some other people do.
So that's Kirk Cousins then? So
Kirk Cousins in Minnesota as
So yeah, okay. Interesting. So he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers going to New England, huh?
Okay. He does not. Right. He does not.
Well, that wouldn't be as fun. I thought we were going to have – I mean, it's been fun, but I'd like to have some more QB fun out there. So hopefully there's some more movement to come. There are – just the Watson thing is – you know, and teams right now are, you know, are still being told, no, nah, we're not trading them. Thanks, though. You know, that's which is interesting. At this point, you know, the Texans are just like, no, nah, we're not moving him. Why would we move him, you know, which seems to me like a massive case of denial. But it's interesting. It's like all these other teams were hearing about what they're putting together for him, you know. But right now, it's not amounting to much. So I wonder what, you know, how this will time out. Because, look, you can't – I mean, if it's going to get to – he's just going to sit out next year. Now you're robbing the world of joy. So you can't – you've already done enough damage, Houston.
Yeah, you cannot rob us of further joy. We're hoping 2021 is much better in terms of our football watching experience than this past season was. Maybe even some more fan involvement down the stretch as well. And speaking of fan involvement, Titans fans, what do you think of the quarterback situation right now in the AFC South? Carson Wentz now in the fold. Looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to be coming into the division as well. Who knows what the future looks like for Deshaun Watson? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Carolina is going to become a place that players want to go. That's a coach I think a lot of people want to play for, and it's a better team than you realize. So that becomes a real interesting possibility. When the Texans decide that they are going to trade away Deshaun Watson, which they will, watch Carolina be a very aggressive pursuer.
That was Mike Greenberg discussing the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. And Joe throwing it out there that when it comes time for the Texans to make the move on Deshaun Watson, and it will. So we talked about in the last segment, you know, them being a little hesitant, maybe being in denial right now that that's going to come. Greenberg says it will come. And when that happens, Carolina could be a very intriguing, very attractive option for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. And we read it off in the last segment, a piece from Field Yates predicting that Deshaun Watson will be the starting quarterback in Carolina next season. So if that's the case and that ends up happening, number one, what do you think of Matt Rhule and the job that he's done so far in Carolina, what he's trying to build there? And if you're Carolina, I know some people say, man, would you really give up Christian McCaffrey? Like, to me, if I can get Deshaun Watson, I don't hesitate giving up Christian McCaffrey. Like, I'll give up almost whatever it takes to give up in order to bring a guy that you're going to feel comfortable being your quarterback for the next 10 to 12 years at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to, you know, to join the chorus of like running backs don't matter that much, you know, because Christian McCaffrey is, I mean, he's a special talent, but I think I would make that deal too. That brings up something in my mind. What about if you were the Titans and you had a chance to move Derrick Henry for Deshaun Watson? Would you do it?
Oh, man. I would.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a franchise quarterback for the next 12 years. Like,
so it's
hard to pass. And not only a franchise quarterback, like, you know, he's on track to be a Hall of Famer.
So Tannehill and Henry.
Oh, man.
That's what, it, you know, you're trading quarterbacks and then they want Derrick Henry back too. You doing it?
I mean, you're kind of killing your chance to win right now by doing that. So I'd have to think long and hard about it. But again, you're getting a really high level quarterback, you know, theoretically for the next 10 to 12 years. I think you've got to consider it. I don't know. What would you do?
Yeah, boy,
it's tough.
I mean, not that Deshaun Watson couldn't, you know, win with a, you know, I guess with like Darrington Evans, you know, by throwing to AJ Brown. Yeah, I'd probably do it. I mean, Deshaun Watson is, I think he's going to be, again, health provided, going to be one of those guys we talk about, you know, 10, 20 years from now when everybody's listing their their best quarterbacks, you know? I mean, I think that he can be that kind of guy. He's a generational talent. So I think I would, but it would not be easy. No. It would be a painful, you know, transaction.
It would be. And look, why do you think the Texans are kind of doing that? Because obviously, I mean, there's not a rush right now to make this happen. I mean, the season is still a long time away, and if and when the time comes to trade Deshaun Watson, there's going to be a high amount of interest, no matter when the timing takes place. But do you think that the Texans actually believe that they can still hang on to him? Do you think that they're still hopeful that they can work this out, or are they just quite simply in denial and living in fantasy land right now?
Well, I think a couple things. One, I think they hope, I'm sure, that, you know, their new coach at some point can have a breakthrough and really have a conversation that gives him a chance to reach Watson. I think that's one. And then two, I mean, if your stance right now publicly is, yeah, we're not trading him. I mean, right now you already have no leverage. So, I mean, if teams have an inkling of belief that you'll be fine just holding on to him and letting him sit out next year, maybe that helps you a little bit in negotiations. So I think it's probably those two things. Now, knowing Houston and how the organization has been run, maybe it's purely what you said. They're just dumb, you know, but I think those two, I mean, if I'm the Texans, I definitely want to make every effort for Watson. It's like for things to thaw, for things to settle down, for at some point, you know, an opportunity to emerge where you can get him with your new coach. You know, I would certainly want to do that. I mean, David Culley, by all accounts, is a guy who's really well liked by players in organizations. Type of guy who, if he actually had a chance to sit down with Watson, you know, maybe he could change his mind a little bit. Maybe not. Probably not. The way it, from what we get coming out of Watson's camp, it's just like, nope, bye. But if I'm the Texans, I don't blame them for wanting to do everything possible to reach him.
Sure. I mean, I think the Texans fan response to that would be, all right, well, I mean, you've had your chance for the last year and a half, 2 years to do everything possible to try to reach him, and you've let it devolve to this point. So I just don't really see this turning around with Deshaun Watson and the way that he views this. And, you know, if it's true, if he's actually willing to sit out the season, then, I mean, you really don't have much of a choice if you're the Texans. Like, you can't just allow that to continue to happen. So I do think he's going to end up being traded. And then the question becomes, like, if you're a Titans fan, you're looking around the division right now, and we don't know if that happens exactly what's coming back for Houston and where they end up going in that route of a trade there. But you feel great about, you know, Trevor Lawrence being the quarterback in Jacksonville. I think everybody believes that that's going to happen. Now Carson Wentz in the fold in Indy. And, you know, if Carson Wentz looks like the Carson Wentz of old, then I think that becomes very interesting. If he doesn't, or if he looks even, you know, close to as bad as he looked this past season, I mean, Ryan Tannehill right now, if Deshaun Watson is out, pretty clearly, I think, the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, 2017 Carson Wentz would be the best quarterback in the division.
Right.
That's the 1 year. The rest of his career, Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback in the division. At this point, how can you project Carson Wentz to be 2017 Wentz? Again, I think the Colts will gladly take 2019 Wentz, and I think they could be real good, but he's still not as good as what Ryan Tannehill is to the Titans right now. Titans have the best quarterback. The Titans will have the best quarterback in the division next year. I'm confident in saying that just because I'm confident that Deshaun Watson's either in a new place or sitting at home.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence comes in year one, though, and just lights it up.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Duval is very hopeful. Have we heard from our friend Todd lately?
Not a while.
I mean, one of the last times I remember was like Trevor Lawrence Smever Schmorance We got Minshew, baby. We're going 11-5. So I hope Todd is excited about Trevor Lawrence. I'd be excited about Trevor Lawrence. I think he has a chance to be dynamite in this league. But right away as a rookie, I mean, I know Urban is going to have some fiery speeches for those guys, but yeah, you might need to take a little while.
I mean, we've seen some rookie quarterbacks come in and play pretty well. I mean, Joe Burrow, before he got hurt last season, played very well.
He did.
Now, could they be at the same level as Ryan Tannehill? Probably not.
Yeah, I would think not. I would think
not in year one.
Right. I mean, again, and this is where, like, some people around the league would be like, oh, come on. But it's like, okay, again, did you watch Tannehill last year? Because, you know, I think Tannehill should have been a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Well, and we brought up that piece that Field Yates put together. And in his description on Tannehill, it says, some people were skeptical that Tannehill could keep up his strong finish from 2019 into the 2020 season. Some people were wrong. He finished fourth in the league in total QBR at 78.3. So, obviously, you know, Field Yates, we've talked to him about this before and how good Ryan Tannehill has been. Just if you're the Titans, with Carson Wentz coming into the fold, barring, you know, a revitalization of his career, I think you feel good about where you sit right now in the division. Obviously, the salary cap being what it projects to be, I mean, you're going to have to make some decisions if you're the Titans. But just based on, you know, the quarterbacks around this division right now, regardless of how the offseason goes, you're still going to have most of your team back, and you're still going to be theoretically in a good place offensively just based on the foundation of having Derrick Henry, having Ryan Tannehill, and having A.J. Brown. I think you've got to feel good about your chances next year if you're a Titans fan.
Absolutely. I also think, and this is where I certainly disagree with Jared, and no, other people have this opinion too. I still think yesterday was a good day for the Colts. And this gives them a chance, and this is a better outcome than, to me, like Matt Ryan or, you know, certainly like a Mariota or having to go with Brissett. I mean, no, the Colts upgraded yesterday, or at least potentially upgraded, and gave themselves, they have a better chance to me of winning the AFC South today than they did yesterday. I believe that, while obviously allowing for a lot of unknown with Wentz here.
So when we come back, speaking of the Colts, we'll be joined by Stephen Holder from The Athletic. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get into the latest with Carson Wentz with him. What does it mean for this division? What does it mean for the Colts moving forward? We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the quarterback movement in the AFC South. Carson Wentz going from Philadelphia to the Indianapolis Colts. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Stephen Holder from The Athletic. Stephen, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Hey, you got it. No problem, guys.
So, Stephen, obviously, you know, Wentz on the move to Indianapolis, at least from our vantage point here on the show, not a surprising move when you factor in his familiarity with Frank Reich. What's been the reaction in Indianapolis to this trade?
I think certainly it's mixed, but I think it's mostly cautious optimism. No one is under the impression that, you know, Carson Wentz is going to come in here and have sort of a Tom Brady type season, right? No one's expecting that, but that's not where the bar is anyway. I think honestly, what people want and what they're hoping for from Carson Wentz is that he can just not screw things up. To be completely honest, I think they know they have a good team. Look, they're not necessarily a Super Bowl contender right now. At least they haven't proven that. But that's what they hope they're moving toward, and they're just hoping that Carson Wentz, I think, just doesn't disrupt that progress toward getting there. And then the question becomes, can he do more? Can he be a playmaker? Can he be someone who lifts the team? But I think you got to crawl before you walk, and the first order of business is to get him back on track, and we'll see whether they can do that.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, you made the case on your piece of The Athletic yesterday that, and I agree, I mean, of the potential acquisitions at quarterback, you know, after the deal with the Rams happens, I think Wentz was your best case out there. You know, I mean, there was nothing out there that was a sure thing. But obviously, Wentz, a terrible 2020, bad team, terrible offensive line. I mean, everything was bad, including him. No question about it. But you just have to go back to 2019 to have the kind of quarterback play that I think could make the Colts really good next year. Do you think that, one, Frank Reich can elicit that? And two, how much concern is there that maybe just the accumulation of injuries is a big part of this and something that, you know, might not be overcome?
So I do think, first off, you asked about Frank Reich. I think if anybody can get this kid headed in the right direction, it's Frank Reich. And this is not an apples to apples comparison. I understand that, but it's worth mentioning. And I think there's value in this. Last year, about this time, they signed Phillip Rivers. I was kind of torn about it. You know, here's a guy who the year before had 20 interceptions. Granted, he made a lot of plays, okay, but he certainly did not play at a Phillip Rivers level, you know, what you expect from Phillip Rivers. I thought last season he did that, and pretty consistently. I mean, look, there were times where he could have been better, but I think on the whole, really hard for any Colts fan to really say that Phillip Rivers was disappointing in any real meaningful way last season. I think they got exactly what they hoped out of him. The quarterback was not an impediment to them. In fact, the quarterback in some cases lifted them. So, you know, can they duplicate that here? And the common denominator is Frank Reich. He, 2 years in a row, he's going back to one of, quote-unquote, his guys. He coached Phillip Rivers, had success with him. He coached Carson Wentz and had success with him. So that's what this is. It's a bet on Frank Reich, and I don't think that's a bad bet. I mean, he had success with Nick Foles, so much so that they won a Super Bowl with the guy. I get that there were a lot of other parties involved. But, I mean, you know, there's a trend here. There's definitely a trend. I mean, quarterbacks reach their ceiling under Frank Reich. They just have. I mean, that tends to be the case. So let's see if that happens here. Now, again, as you said, look, 2020, it did happen. We can't pretend it didn't happen. Look, he did lead the league in sacks. They did have a team that was, I think, top eight in dropped passes. They had a lot of dysfunction. Certainly, all of those things are true. And then Carson Wentz didn't respond well to the addition of Jalen Hurts either. So that's another conversation. But I do think a change of scenery, it can't hurt here. The pass protection's better. I think the skill positions are better. The running game certainly is better. He's going to have everything working in his favor. And if he can't do it here, then maybe he just can't do it.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, covers the Indianapolis Colts. So Stephen, let's go that direction. If Carson Wentz approaches the top of his game under Frank Reich, and maybe not quite back at MVP level like he was in 2017, but close to it, what does that do for the Colts? Where do they rank in the AFC at that point in your mind if they get the best version of Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would settle for, as you said, even less than that. I mean, 2 years ago, Carson Wentz, and this is, I'm boiling this down a little too much here, but it is what it is. 2019, 27 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. And I know the game is bigger than that, right? But, I mean, like, come on. The Colts would take that yesterday.
Yeah.
If you could guarantee them they get that, the 2019 version of Carson Wentz, the Colts are thinking, okay, we can win 12 games. Let's do it. I don't think there's any reason for them to not feel that way. So what I saw from Jonathan Taylor, I think his emergence, I thought he would be good. I didn't expect it to happen so quickly, because about halfway through the season, I thought maybe this kid was heading the wrong direction. But they have really uncovered something there. They feel like they're going to get their left tackle situation settled here with Anthony Costanzo's retirement. So I don't think the offensive line has to take a step back. And I think they can fine-tune some things on defense. They have an opportunity there. I think there's an opportunity to deal with their edge rush, which needs to get better. So if the quarterback play at least remains constant to last year, then the team could be better. It's certainly possible the team could be better. So I really think that's the biggest question. But if they get that question answered at quarterback, why can't the Colts win the AFC South? I mean, you saw what happened last season, right? I mean, they were a hair away from doing that. So I think that's where they are. But Carson's going to have to do his part.
So we did we're doing a mock draft right now, which I can't reveal the results. But Steven and I both took part in this yesterday. But I do want to ask you about, you know, the Colts. Obviously, they do have to address offensive line, Steven. But I guess I look at them and I also wonder, like, do they need, you know, another weapon in the passing game? But maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some young players coming along. How do you view, I guess, their off-season priorities at this point, including free agency?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like, they could use, I think, another big weapon in the passing game. They have to decide what they're going to do with T.Y. Hilton. He is not the guy he used to be. There's no question. But, you know, can they work out a deal that's, you know, pretty reasonable, keep that veteran force or veteran presence, excuse me, in their receiver room, which is still pretty young? I think there's some advantages to that. The question is, if you do that, is there still room to go out there and add a big-time receiver? I will tell you this. Knowing the Colts, they spend their money closer to the ball. That's just the way they do it. And in fact, their resources generally, they spend them close to the ball as opposed to on the outside, the skill position. I mean, they don't go out there and sign, you know, big-time free agent receivers. That's not their style. They don't go out there and maybe pay top dollar for a corner. They're going to get a guy who can rush the passer or a guy who can protect the passer. I mean, that's generally where they're going to spend their biggest resources. But that being said, the draft is a different deal. I mean, draft picks are certainly less expensive. So they have some opportunities there. But I for me, I think the strength of this draft, or one of the strengths, is offensive tackle. So when the strengths line up with your need, you kind of have to tap into that, unless, of course, someone falls to you who's just far and away better. But when the strength of the draft lines up with your needs, I mean, that's the perfect storm. So I say solve your problem and sleep at night. You know, that's what I do.
Steven, I'm interested to get your vantage point on the Wentz deal from this standpoint of Chris Ballard and how he handled this. Because to me, you know, the third round pick in 2021, the conditional second rounder that could turn into a first in 2022. Like, if I'm the Colts and this works out the way that you want it to work out with Carson Wentz, I'll gladly pay that first rounder at that point. Like, to me, I think the way that the Colts handled this deal is a big win for them.
Yeah, and I think it really is, I think, something he's gained a reputation for, which is, you know, this is how he does business, Chris Ballard. It's like, look, this is where I'm at, and this is where I'm going to be in terms of offer or price, whatever it is, whether it's a contract negotiation, trade talks, whatever. He really does take a pretty constant or pretty consistent approach to these things. And, you know, I think sometimes that may bite him in the butt. There's no question about that, right? You may lose a guy that you really want, but you kind of have to be willing to let that happen if you're going to stick to your guns. You know, some fans may not like it depending on the outcome, but I do think you gain a reputation for how you do business. And what he is doing is he is saying, you teams out there, you have to come to me. I'm not going to come to you. And again, the outcome may not be favorable at times, but I do think there's something to be said for being consistent, and people know who they're dealing with and they know how he's going to operate. I think that was the case here. I mean, look, Philly can spin this a little bit and say, look, you know, we're probably going to get a first round pick out of this. Okay. And you know what? Fine. Hey, let them put that up on a billboard. I mean, that's good for them. But I think, as you said, for the Colts, there's no question. That first round pick, if Carson Wentz plays decent football, they're fine with that. Because here's the thing. I just laid out the 27-7 season that Carson Wentz had, you know, touchdown interception ratio in 2019. Can they find a player within their reach? Okay. And I'm not talking about, you know, pick one or two, but could they find a player in their reach, the Colts, in this draft who could do that in 2021? I highly doubt that. Right. So I think that's the way to look at it. And if that's the outcome, hey, let them have the first round pick. I think you're fine with that.
I do have one nitpick with this deal, and that is, you know, the Colts didn't get Deshaun Watson. I mean, I really think that they should have tried to get Deshaun Watson instead of Wentz. But, I mean, we got everybody we have on, we have to ask. So I want to put you on the record. Where the heck is Deshaun Watson going to be in 2021, Steven?
Oh, my God. Honestly, I think in Houston. I don't know whether what's going on there can be overcome. I really don't. And it does seem really dysfunctional, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, if you're Houston and you trade him, I mean, what are you selling? What are you? You know what I mean? I don't understand. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I hope at the end of the day, if they decide to keep him, I just hope they can work it out because I know his teammates love him and I know that city loves him. So I hope for those people's sake, I don't care about, you know, the front office and ownership. That's their problem. But I just hope for the sake of, for that city and for those teammates who love that guy, that they're able to work it out if he does stay. Because, I mean, he's all they got, to be completely honest.
Steven Holder from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Steven, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Hey, no problem, guys. Stay warm.
Absolutely, you as well. When we come back, it's that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. You could take it to the Preds any way you want to take it over the weekend. You could even do some long-term ones as well. How do you think Carson Wentz affects the Colts? All of that on the table coming up next on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions for the world of sports over the weekend. You could take some long-term shots too as well if you'd like. Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, Call Your Shot Friday recently, I know for me, has not gone overly well. What does our Call Your Shot Friday results look like from last week?
Okay. So, well, I tell you what, Robbie, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, you only had two called shots. One of them was Carson Wentz as the next quarterback of the Colts.
I did get
that. So, let's stand and applaud. Now, your other one was Pecorine starts and gets a shutout against the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Porth also had Pecorino getting a shutout against the Red Wings.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, you had Preds getting at least one in Dallas, so you didn't, we didn't get to find that out.
They didn't lose one either.
That's true.
That's fair. You had Dallas, long-term Dallas not making the playoffs. You had Panthers making the top three, so we got two long-term ones for you. You got Djokovic not winning the Australian Open. Now he's in the final Sunday, so you actually called that shot really early. But he has a chance to make you wrong, or you could be right Sunday. And you had Matt Ryan to the Colts, so big on that one. for me, at least I had the Red Wings beating the Preds. My goodness. So I feel good about that. I did say in overtime, so I said they'd be 6-8-1 after the weekend. They were 6-9-0.
Yeah, so you didn't get that shot right then.
Do I get a half shot? I
think you get a half shot,
don't I?
Yeah, a little pump fake.
Yeah, I had the Vols winning in hoops at LSU, focusing double figures, big ant there. And then I got two long terms, which is Azeez Ojulari to the Titans in the first round, Marcus Mariota to the Bears. The dream remains alive in 2021.
Very nicely done. So with that in mind, the table is set for Call Your Shot Friday this weekend. Ryan Porth, would you like to begin?
Sure. And I don't know if any of these three happen this weekend. They're more long term, but here we go. Okay. J.J. Watt, his new team will be the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. And when that news hits, Bills Mafia will be jumping through tables.
Okay, very nicely done.
That's number one. Number two, the Vanderbilt Commodores upset Tennessee next Wednesday at Memorial Gym.
Ooh.
Tennessee has been up and down, and Vandy is playing better of late, so I'm going to go with the Doors pulling the upset at Memorial.
I like it.
Then longer-term NHL, and I feel really good about this. Auston Matthews is going to get some hardware for NHL awards. He's going to win the Rocket Richard for the most goals in the NHL this season. He's also going to win the Hart Trophy for MVP.
He's on pace right now, I believe, for 51 goals in 56 games.
He is incredible. He's on a 15-game point streak. The Canadian, and you also have to factor this in, the Canadian media is in love with him right now.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And the fact that he has set this bar so early in the season, I know Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid, but sometimes with we kind of saw this with Patrick Mahomes, sometimes you try to find somebody else outside of the obvious choice for MVP. So I'm going with Austin Matthews. And by the way, his Hart Trophy odds on FanDuel have gone from plus 1,000 to plus 300 in the last 2 weeks, and I am happy that I have Matthews at plus 1,000 for
the
Hart Trophy.
Very well done, Ryan Porth. So, nicely done on your part. I like those called shots. Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week are what?
Okay. I say the Preds will score a goal Saturday. They'll lose, but they will score.
Okay.
Mikael Granlund in a 3-1 loss to Columbus. So there you go.
Granlund on the board. Okay.
So I'm doing my own little Preds pick, pick to click.
It won't count.
It won't count. It's a called shot. So, I'm just saying.
Nice.
I'm going to go, two more over the weekend. The Vols will beat Kentucky by double figures on Saturday.
Okay.
They will handle Kentucky. Vanderbilt will lose to Alabama by single digits Saturday, which would, that's the best team in the SEC this year in Alabama. But I think Vanderbilt will give them a game. And I like Porth's shot. I think that could be interesting next week. Now, two long-term ones. And, yes, I'm absolutely a prisoner of the moment, and I'm going to ride it all the way. After last night watching them play, watching Ray Burrell and Renaya Davis and key blocking shots and Horston and Walker, I like this team a lot. I've got the Lady Vols in the Final Four for the first time since 2008 when Pat Summitt and those two teams back-to-back, maybe the best team in the sport. So
could this be overreaction Friday?
Oh, absolutely. But, hey, we're calling shots, right? We're calling shots.
I like it. I like it.
I think they're going to be a 2 seed. And I think that, it's probably going to come down to beating one of those elite teams in the Elite Eight, but they know they can play with anyone. And then finally, I'm going to go JJ Watt. I'm going to put me down for something too. I'm going to go Browns, JJ to Cleveland.
Okay, so they're the shots of the week for Joe Rexroad. I'm going to start with one of my guilty pleasures in the world of sports. I love watching tennis. It's one of my favorite things to do. Now, I don't know if I love it as much with this particular matchup coming up on Sunday morning at 2:30 to wake up and watch Djokovic take on Daniil Medvedev, but I'll say this. I think Medvedev gets it done. He takes down the Joker in the Aussie Open final. Djokovic does not win this weekend. That's my number one called shot, and I love watching Grand Slam tennis. So who knows? Maybe I will wake up at 2:30 in the morning on Sunday and watch a little bit of that action. I'll also take in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes. He will be the next member of the Green Bay Packers. J.J. Watt returns home. He is in Wisconsin.
Homer.
Grew up in Wisconsin. Well, the money that's being floated around out there, I don't know if I love that idea, but I think that's what's going to happen. I think that him on a line with Za'Darius Smith could be very intriguing, and I think J.J. Watt ends up back home in Wisconsin with the Green Bay Packers. And my final called shot for this weekend, Joe Rexroad, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer combined for 42 points or more in this game against Kentucky. I think the freshmen have a big game against the Wildcats.
I think they had 50 last time, so certainly we know they can do it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex texts in and says, I say Wentz will go back to old Philadelphia form with Reich and an O-line like he had there with the defense. The team is way too similar. So Alex predicting that Carson Wentz has a very good resurgence of his career in Indy with Frank Reich.
Certainly possible.
Certainly. Alex also throws in another shot there and says the Preds will need to sell at the trade deadline this year, but they won't do it. So I guess Alex thinks that the Predators are just going to stand pat at the trade deadline this year.
Boy, that would be weird. if they're in a selling position, take advantage and sell.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. So that'll be really fascinating to see. And we'll have plenty of time to discuss that. So in JJ Watt, like we all three have him ending up in three different spots. I've got him with the Packers. Joe's got him with the Browns. Ryan Poor with the Buffalo Bills. The Bills would be very interesting. Like if he ends up in Buffalo, like dude, they don't have like any superstars on their line, but that defense is already pretty good. Like what do you think JJ Watt could bring to the table in Buffalo, Porth?
Some quarterback pressure and a better defense. That's what he would bring.
Thank you for your analysis.
And he would bring a lot of folding tables with him. And put them out for all the tailgaters before every home game.
Free agent destination, Buffalo, New York.
That's what he would bring.
Yes, we appreciate it. That's today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. We'll continue to take your shots all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be right back with Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get into J.J. Watt sweepstakes with him and the latest with the Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.